Life is difficult. Our Lord Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Life is difficult. Life is challenging. Life is challenging for Christians. Life is challenging for those who do not know Christ. But we read the Bible, and we read throughout the Bible of people suffering greatly, yet experiencing great joy. The Apostle Paul, who writes 2 Corinthians, suffered a lot. He had an extremely difficult life. But we look at the Apostle Paul, and even in prison, he's singing and rejoicing. And maybe you have observed other Christian people. You've seen them, or you've read about them, or you've heard about them from me telling you about the persecuted church, and you see that even though Christians are suffering, they're overwhelmed with joy. Joy unspeakable. The Bible talks about peace that surpasses all understanding. The Bible talks about hope against hope. Christians have hard lives just like other people do. But we see Christians suffering, and we have a lot of joy in the midst of our suffering. And I look out at you, and I know that it has been a difficult summer. And I know that many of you have had trying and difficult circumstances in your life. Even today, we grieve with grace. If you are here this morning and you are having a challenging time in your life, then this sermon is for you. Would you please open with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and stand with me as we read. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and fill you with the truth about Himself from the Scriptures? Would you pray for the other people in this room? That God would open their hearts and soften their hearts and fill them with the truth of the Scriptures. Will you pray now for me? That I could preach this passage accurately and appropriately and do it right. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be led and controlled by you and therefore be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We rejoice this morning and welcome back to our family and body, our traveling student, Leanne Hendricks, is back with us today. Welcome, Leanne. She is back from Texas. Leanne, I'm sorry that I will not have a Western drawl as I preach, but I will promise you that I will preach from the same book. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul starts out and says, blessed be God. Blessed be God. You remember in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn. That's a different Greek word entirely. This Greek word is different. It's the Greek word, you have it in your notes on the back page, eulogetos. Eulogetos, it means to speak well of someone. To speak well of someone. We get our English word eulogy from this Greek word. Paul simply says, praise God. Why? Why does Paul praise God? Trinity Baptist Church, there are thousands of reasons for God to be praised. No matter what we are going through in life, there are thousands of reasons for God to be praised. Look at some of them in the Bible passages using the same Greek word. Behind me on the screen, Luke 1:68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. Eulogy, eulogetos, to speak well of someone. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That applies to you and I, Trinity Baptist Church. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's all we need. Amen?
Amen.
All we need. Very common to address God in this way in the Bible. Even in Jesus' trial, look what the high priest says as he talks about God. Mark 14:61. But he kept silent and did not answer. This is Jesus' trial. Again, the high priest was questioning him and saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? That's who God is. Amen?
Amen.
He is the Blessed One. Paul starts out and he simply says, blessed be God. Praise God. Why does he start out in this way? Look at the verse. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Paul says two wonderful things about God this morning. Two wonderful things about God. First of all, he is the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. The Greek on the back of your notes, oikтермos, oikтермos, it means compassion or pity for those having difficulty or misfortune. That is God. Compassion or pity for those who have difficulty or misfortune. We praise God because he is a God of mercy. Number one in your notes. We praise God because he is the Father of mercies. Two blanks for you there in number one. We praise God because he is the Father of mercies. Indeed, this is what God has said about himself, Trinity Baptist. Exodus 34:6, behind me on the screen. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. The prophet Micah says this about our God. Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, he will cast all of our sins in the depths of the sea. Jesus commands us in Luke 6:36, be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful. We are to be merciful to each other simply because God is merciful to us. We are to show compassion for each other when we are suffering because God treats us that way. Trinity Baptist Church, when God's children suffer, he looks down and he sees it and he has compassion. God has always been this way. God has always been this way, and he always will be this way. When the children of Israel were suffering under slavery in Egypt, God saw their suffering and had compassion. Look at Exodus chapter 2. Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out. And the cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. Look what he says to Moses in the next chapter. Exodus 3, 7 and 8. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. I've come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and Hittite and Amorite and Perizzite and Hivite and Jebusite. God is the same God of mercy and compassion today. God does not change.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's why he sent his son to save us. We praise God because he is a God of mercy. Trinity Baptist, look deeper. Look deeper at 2 Corinthians 1:3. It doesn't say he is the God of mercy. It says what? It says he is the Father of mercy. The Father of mercy. I'm a dad. And I have had the privilege of taking my children to the emergency room. And those of you that are parents have had that privilege as well, taking your child to the emergency room. And I can remember being in the emergency room with Elizabeth when her fever was, 10 something terrible. And you're there and your child is suffering, and the compassion you feel and wanting to do anything you can to help them. I remember seeing that on my dad's face when he rushed me to the emergency room when I had had some sort of sports injury. And it seems to me I had dislocated a finger. And they were setting the finger, and I'm screaming, and my dad is looking up at me like, okay, I'm either going to take his place or I'm going to kill you. One or the two. The compassion a father feels for his children when they are suffering. Trinity Baptist Church, God is not just the God of mercy, He is the Father of mercy. God is our Father. Look what he says in Psalm 103. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. By the way, this is why we serve the persecuted church. This is why we serve the persecuted church. It is not primarily out of love for them. We serve the persecuted church because we love them, yes, but that is second. We serve the persecuted church because we love God. We serve the persecuted church because God looks down on his suffering children and has compassion for them, and it pleases God when his children serve each other. That's why we do it. In the book of Romans, Paul takes several chapters to explain in incredible detail how we are lost in sin. We are doomed. We need to be rescued. Then he takes several chapters to talk in beautiful detail about how God saved us. And in response, he gives us this in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Of worship. This is the worship that God wants. Is that we would respond to the mercy we have been given by serving him. Take a look at the verse. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God of all comfort. Beautiful Greek word on the back of your notes. Paraklesis. Paraklesis. Used many, many times in the Bible. The word can mean appeal. Like I appeal to the court. The word can mean encouragement. In fact, that's probably the best translation if you want a one-word translation for paraklesis. Encouragement is probably the best one. It can mean exhortation, like I'm doing now. It can mean comfort. Paul says, God is not only a father of mercies, but he is the God of all comfort. And he always has been. Look at Isaiah 51, verse 3. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And her wilderness he will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of a melody. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Finally, Paul in 2 Thessalonians says this, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." Would you just pause right now and pray this prayer for our church? Amen. Scripture tells us that God's Word is an incredible source of comfort. And I want to tell you, those of you that are suffering and those of you that are not right now, that God's Word is an incredible source of comfort. Look how Paul uses the same Greek word, paraklesis, in Romans 15. "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions, so that through perseverance and the encouragement, paraklesis, of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus. Number two in your notes, we praise God because He is the God of all comfort. We praise God because He is the God of all comfort. Paul has so much more to say this morning. Please look at the verse again, 2 Corinthians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction." That's what God does. Affliction, on the back of your notes, the Greek word is thlipsis, and it means pressure. Pressure. Are you under pressure? God comforts us in our affliction. You know, Paul has suffered a lot. Paul speaks from experience when he says God is the God of all comfort, because Paul has suffered a lot. And as you know, when you look at a verse or a passage of Scripture, the context brings it to life. The context brings it to life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians and take verses 3 and 4 in Paul's context. Keep your finger in 2 Corinthians 1 and turn a couple pages with me to chapter 4. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11. And know that this scripture can be of great comfort to us this morning. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. We who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Turn a couple pages over to 2 Corinthians 6. Look what Paul has to say. Starting from verse 3. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God. This is Paul's experience. In much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumult, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. What a beautiful passage from the Apostle Paul. Finally, turn a couple pages over to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Here is what Paul has to say about himself, starting from verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. Far more labors, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I've spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? This is the Apostle Paul's experience. And in all of that, he says, blessed be God. Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trouble. That's what Paul has to say for us today. You know, I always encourage the people of Trinity Baptist to read what I call the one-year Bible. And there are many reasons for that. The one-year Bible is a Bible that you open up and it gives you, for example, September 2nd. And it will give you 3 chapters approximately in the Old Testament. And then probably about 1 chapter in the New Testament. And then a psalm. And then a proverb. And if you read that every day you get encouragement from God from the Old Testament, the New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb. It is a, it is, I call it spiritual meat, potatoes, veggies, and dessert. All in one devotion. It is fantastic. And one reason I like it so much is because every day you read a psalm. And there is a lot of encouragement for those who are suffering in the Psalms. Look at Psalm 25, 4 through 7. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness, O Lord. Look at Psalm 69. 16 through 17. Answer me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. According to the greatness of your compassion, turn to me and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Answer me quickly. As you read the Psalms, David and the other authors help you express yourself to God. They help you pray, and they give you truth about God to encourage you.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 119, 76 through 77. Oh, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word to your servant. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Brothers and sisters, God is the Father of mercy, and He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Why does God comfort us? Why does God comfort us? Well, quite obviously, He comforts us because He loves us. He comforts us because He is a Father of compassion. But Paul gives us a very specific reason that we cannot miss here in our passage this morning. Look at the passage with me. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Very important. Paul says, God comforts us so that we can comfort each other. As I said earlier, I look around the room today, and I know that a lot of you are going through pretty tough times. God has comforted you in your tough times. Pass it on. Pass it on. Number three in your notes. God comforts us to give us the ability to comfort each other. God comforts us to give us the ability to comfort each other. It looks like this. This is me. I got you, Don. I'm on now. Sorry. This is me. I am a vessel. And I'm empty without God. But God fills me up. He's the only one who does. He's the only one who can. He fills me up. But He doesn't stop there. God does this a lot. You see, in 2 Corinthians 5, he says that he has reconciled us. God has reconciled us to himself in Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God reconciles you to him and then gives you the job of spreading the good news. Comfort is the same way. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God comforts you so that you will comfort other people. So you see, God fills me. His Spirit, his Word. God comforts me in my affliction and then gives me the jug. And says, now you comfort your brothers and sisters. I wonder, is there anyone out here that needs comfort today? Enan. Enan needs comfort. So see, God has comforted me. So now I comfort Enan. And I give him the jug. And I wonder if anyone needs comfort from Enan today. Nathan does. So Enan comforts Nathan with the comfort he's received from God, and Nathan gets the jug. Chris, we have one more, right? Oh, Brother Chris himself. Chris needs comfort. So now Nathan comforts Chris and gives him the jug. And that's it for our illustration, right, Chris? Is there more cups? We're good. Okay, all right. Chris was in charge here. I want to point out his administrative qualities here for as we consider him for deacon. But the point is the challenge you have in your notes. Look in your notes. Challenge. Every Sunday, when you come to church, look. Every Sunday when you come to church, thanks, brothers. Every Sunday when you come to church, look for someone who needs encouraging and encourage them. Look for someone who needs encouraging and encourage them. God gives us his grace and calls us to pass it on. So with the comfort that you have received from God, comfort one another. Because I'm telling you that there are hurting people in this room.
Amen, brother.
There are hurting people in this room. We need each other.
Amen.
Every Sunday, brothers and sisters, when you come to church, look. Look for someone who needs encouraging and encourage them. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we bless you this morning. We praise you this morning. We worship you this morning because you are the God of mercies and the God of all comfort. May your name be praised here and around the world today and always in Jesus' name. Amen.